you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
We need to roll back the state. We spy on all of our own citizens.
Our prisons are flooded with nonviolent drug offenders. If you want to know who America's next enemy is, look at who we're funding right now.
Every single one of these problems are a result of government being way too big.
You're listening to Part of the Problem on the Gas Digital Network. Here's your host, Dave Smith.
All right, what's up, everybody? Welcome to a brand new episode of Part of the Problem. I'm Dave Smith. He's Robbie the Fire Bernstein. I'm still out here camping out, quarantining. We're back with a brand new episode. How you feeling, Rob?
I had an amazing weekend in Buffalo, had some good shows.
Oh, you opened for Tripoli out there, right?
Yeah, it was a ton of fun.
Oh, that's great.
We're going to have to do some Buffalo gigs. That's a drinking town, dude.
Sure is, especially this time of year.
Yeah. And I'm happy to see that you're surviving one of the worst plagues and epidemics that have ever, you know, fallen upon humanity.
Yeah, this was totally worth shutting down all of civilization over. It's funny, man, because people even like, you know, like I said on the last show that I had, that I got it, and I'm just getting tons of messages from people like, dude, praying for you, hope you're doing better and all this. And you're like, I have a mild cold. Like, I mean, I appreciate the thought and everything, but like, yeah, just for people who know, I'm fine. I'm absolutely fine. I'm like going stir crazy and I'm very,
that's the worst
really,
part.
I'm really homesick and I really miss my wife and kids. But, you know, in terms of I've had a runny nose. The runny nose is it's annoying. It hasn't gone away. But that's about it.
The latest science is blue chews and marijuana. So,
I'm fucking about, up. I'm not doing any of that.
Yeah, you're about halfway there. So you just got to crank them out till the end.
That's no. I did mean to pour myself a whiskey before we started. But so I fucked up on that. In fact, I might pause in a second and go do that anyway. Yeah, so whatever. It's been fine. I guess to some degree lucky that I got the Omicron and not the Delta. Like somehow I died because I was at some places where people caught Delta and I avoided that one. And I do know
the Delta.
I know some people who got sick and it was pretty nasty with the Delta. So I guess I'm lucky I got the variant that was less likely to make you have like a real nasty virus rather than just an annoying one. But anyway, that's what it is. So yeah, I don't know. I don't have much to say about it. So I've had the experience that millions of people have had, which is that they get it and then kind of feel like, oh, this is it? This is what we were talking about? Okay.
Well, the good news is you don't have to think about it for another 6 months.
There you go.
And you probably didn't miss out on anything. Like, it's always great when you actually, like, I got it two and a half weeks before my sister's wedding. So like I was fine to go to that wedding. That would have been really bad if I missed that because I was the person who wasn't socially distanced or getting the vaccine. And then I got it the second time after I filmed the end of year thing. So like if you can almost time, maybe that's what I'm going to start doing in the future is you just find your windows and maybe if you could just go to a place and get it, that would be awesome.
Yeah,
instead
maybe
of the vax, you could just get it.
Yeah, maybe that's it. It's funny too when they like when they people try to like not that I haven't really had this experience, but I've seen this before a lot where people try to be like I think they were just they were losing this argument so much that they kind of stopped doing this, but they definitely did it with Rogan. They did it with Trump. They did it with a lot of like high profile people where they'll be like, well, Mr. Anti-COVID lockdowns, look what happened now. You got COVID, you know? And they'd kind of like try to dunk on you. Like, right. Oh, you got it. And they do that with Rogan too. Like, well, Mr. I'm not vaccinated. Looks like you got COVID. And then everyone's like, he beat it in a day. And they're like, oh, so you're dunking on him because he didn't get the vax, and without the vax, he was fine.
He was able to just flex out of his system.
Yeah, like explain how this proves your point. Like, in what universe does this make your case stronger? Do you remember when Trump got it? Is going back a while now, I guess, that fall of 2020. And they got it, and they really did have this energy like, well, this changes everything. And then he was out of the hospital in a weekend, and you're just like, wow. The fat president who's in his 70s is fine.
And Chris Christie.
Chris Christie surviving this should have been the end of the pandemic. That should have just been where cooler heads prevailed. And we're like, okay, I mean, come on. Like we're going to be fine.
If they took that picture of him when he closed the beach and then sat there like a beached whale, like just propped up in that launcher, if they just like, if that was a front page of the New York Times and it just said coronavirus over.
Well, unfortunately, that's an alternative reality. However, it is interesting. One of the things that I've been keeping my eye on, and we've talked a good amount on this show about, has been the changing narrative around COVID. And it's always something I always try to kind of keep my eye on these things. Like, for example, just changing narratives, that is, in general. It's always kind of interesting. And it's why it's good to pay attention to even your enemies or your opponents sometimes. I've noticed, like, for example, right, in the Libertarian Party. Now, I don't know if you follow any of this stuff at all. I think you don't really care about Libertarian Party drama as much as you do just about, like, you know, the economy and shit like that. But there was this narrative for a long time, like the opponents of the Mises Caucus, their narrative was the Mises Caucus will never win because they're just so awful that they won't attract people. And in fact,
they didn't realize the power of the caulking. They had no idea.
They had no idea. Now, in fact, when I debated one of the most, I don't know, high profile. It was not very high profile, but it was like a Cato staff writer, this guy, Andy Craig, who I debated on Lines of Liberty back last year, I guess it was. And he said in the debate, he was like one of the guys in the Prague caucus who it was anti-Mises caucus. And he said, he goes, you guys are just awful people. And that's why you're going to go on to lose all of the internal elections and you'll keep losing. Like, basically, you're never going to take control of this party. And he's since left. He quit the party because we just started winning everything. And now I watch even the enemies of the Mises Caucus. The narrative is now once they get control of the party, they're going to destroy it. And you're like, oh, that's kind of interesting. That's interesting. That's a very different narrative than they'll never get control of the party. You know what I'm saying? Like, and so people kind of have this natural tendency to, when they see the writing on the wall, start protecting themselves with the narrative that they create. And I've seen a lot of this with the COVID stuff. And as people kind of start, once they realize that they're like, well, this narrative is going to be transparently full of shit, they start changing it. And in general, I've just been wondering for a long time, I think a lot of us have, a lot of the politics of 2020 was knee-jerk reactions, you know? Well, if Trump said something, then the people who hated Trump were going to be opposed to that. And if Trump said something, a lot of the people who supported Trump were going to be for that. And that was just like, that describes, you know, not 100% of politics in America, but like a very large percentage, like 80% or something like that, is described by just that phenomenon. But we've kind of talked about for a long time, you're like, after so long of this COVID stuff, even amongst, say, liberals, there's got to be some people who start to really not like this, who are like, who want to get back to life. Now, disturbingly, there are a lot of people who don't, who are quite happy to just live this way. But there still are some people who you got to think are going to want to find an out, to find a way out of this. And that's why I found this, I didn't watch the whole thing, but these clips from Real Time with Bill Maher, who had Barry Weiss on as a guest. I found these really interesting.
She's too chewy to be watching the whole thing. You got to go with clips.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a lot. It's a lot. And that's coming from us. That's a Bernstein just threw that at you. All right. So, you know, you really got to get your shit together when you're hearing that from a dude who went to yeshiva in Israel or something, right? Didn't you? Something like that. No, you did.
Well, that's the thing. It was overexposure. So now it's like I've already hit my max capacity for how much Jewiness I can tolerate in a lifetime. So like I'm just instantly, you know, irritated.
No, I'm done with COVID. Done. It's I went so hard on COVID.
I remember.
Sprayed the Pringles cans that I bought at the grocery store, stripped my clothes off because I thought COVID would be on my clothes. Like, I did it all. I watched Tiger King. I got to the end of Spotify. Like, we all did it, right?
And, no, we didn't all do it.
Well, here's the thing. A lot of us did do it. And then we were told, you get the vaccine. You get the vaccine and you get back to normal. And we haven't gotten back to normal. And it's ridiculous at this point. I know that so many of my liberal and progressive friends are with me on this, and they do not want to say it out loud because they are scared to be called anti-vax or to be called science denial or to be, you know, smeared as a Trumper. I'm sorry. If you believe the science, you will look at the data that we did not have 2 years ago.
And okay, let's pause it right here. So, Rob, I'm curious to get your take on this because I bet you have a similar feeling to me as we're pretty much on the same page with this whole COVID insanity. And it's very hard for me to not have two distinct feelings about this as I watch it. And I want to be the bigger person and just go with the first feeling that I have, which is like, great, and welcome to the team. And thank you for saying this on a platform like Bill Maher, which does still, I don't know the exact ratings, but I believe Bill Maher gets about 1 million views an episode or something like that. That's nothing. That's a big audience. And it's a progressive audience, at least mostly. And that's really great that someone could say this. And it's really great. It's very encouraging to hear her say this and get a good reception from the crowd. It just starts to make you wonder, like, wow, what percentage of people who consider themselves like liberal Democrats or progressives or whatever are open to this message at this point? So anyway, first and foremost, I don't want to even say the second part of this because I feel like, man, you have to, if we ever want to get past this, then it's probably never going to come with a, hey, progressives, liberals, you have to admit you were wrong and we were right and put your tail between your legs and walk the walk of shame and all of this. It's like, no, that's probably just going to get more people to dig their heels in rather than, I think what you'd rather do is allow them to have some narrative that they were right the whole time. However, I'm not quite big enough to do that. So there is also the part of me that's just like, isn't there something a little bit annoying about going like, well, look, it's like, believe me, I was all in on COVID. I was spraying down my groceries and I was stripping off my clothes and we all did this. And then Bill Maher, to his credit, puts his hand up and goes, no, we didn't. We didn't all do this. And there's something about, again, I shouldn't even be doing this. I'm only doing this for our crowd because you know me and you know us. I'm instructing you. Don't do this if fucking liberals are getting good on this issue. But just between us, it's a little annoying that you brag about how all in you were to then be like, and I don't want to be smeared as a Trumper just because I'm coming out and saying this now. And it's like, another way of phrasing that would be like, you were wrong about all of that stuff. That was stupid to do at the time. And it's just a little bit frustrating for people who were right about this stuff to hear someone go, but you know what? We do follow the science and we have the data now that we didn't have then. And it's like, when's then? You're coming around pretty late at this point to where the data leads you. The data led you to oppose lockdowns at least by April, May the latest of 2020. We're in 2022. You're like to act like, well, I was completely right to be doing all of that stuff, but now we have this brand new data. Specifically, tell me what data it is that just came out. When exactly did following the science start leading toward this? Because from what I understand, Barry Weiss was like real on board with the COVID train for a while. Anyway, that's all petty. Let all that stuff go. Congratulations. Welcome to the side of sanity. It's so great that you were wiping down your groceries for a while. And thank you for announcing that you're done with this. All right, guys, let's take a second and thank our sponsor for today's show, which is IPVanish. Very happy to have them back on the show. IPVanish has been a longtime sponsor of ours. Great to have them back with us. Let me tell you about IPVanish. If you care about the security of your online activity, the easiest way to protect yourself is with an IPVanish VPN. Rated 4.5 out of 5 on Trustpilot, IPVanish provides an encrypted connection for all of your internet traffic, helping to prevent websites, Wi-Fi providers, and even hackers from intercepting your data. You can keep financial details, personal information, and online activity safe from threats with IPVanish. Get started with this limited-time offer and save 50% off the monthly and annual subscriptions by going to ipvanish.com/problem. One more time, that's ipvanish.com/problem, all lowercase. It's really important today to protect your online privacy. It's only going to become more and more important. I highly recommend you check this out, ipvanish.com/problem. All right, let's get back on the show.
It's almost like an addict admitting that they're hitting bottom. It's like they're not saying that the behavior was wrong, but they're kind of acknowledging that it's like they're at their bottom. They can't continue to do the stupid behavior.
Well, it makes it harder in some ways for there to be
Be consequences. If you were to get rid of every fucker that was out there, you know, pretending like we had this, like a month ago, I don't know specifically about her, but if you had said comments like this, it would be like, oh, so you're just looking to have people die? Like, this is the most serious thing that ever happened. There's 700,000 people out there. Are you talking about herd immunity? What are you advocating? Like,
and so, if you were one of the people who, if you're saying now, it's like, there's like, what she said, her and other people, other liberals or whatever, we're scared to say this stuff because we're going to get smeared. And it's like, okay, but were you a part of smearing other people who were saying this stuff? Because if so, from the perspective of people who were like, just a little bit quicker to this truth than you, for whatever reason, you know, like, I don't think it's like that I'm smarter than Barry Weiss or whatever. I mean, I don't really know. She said some dumb shit it's not a matter of that. It's real. I don't look at it that way. At least it's just that I wasn't poisoned by the politics of the whole situation the way that she was and the way lots of other people are. It's an advantage in a weird way to have the outlook that we have. I think that's part of why people like this show, is because I hate the state and both parties and the whole system and all of these institutions so much that I don't get sucked into the latest red team, blue team thing. It just doesn't affect me. Like, if Biden ends the war in Afghanistan, I'll be like, that's great that he ended the war in Afghanistan. And if he's flirting with a war with Russia, I'll be like, that's terrible that he's flirting with the war with Russia. I don't immediately have to oppose what Biden says, and I don't immediately have to oppose what Trump said when he was president. It's just, we're just a little bit more free, no pun intended, because we believe in freedom. So we're just a little bit more free to. So there wasn't now, if and anything.
We're also hyper aware that government will pretend like it's acting in our interest while robbing us of our wealth. I mean, like, if you understand the Federal Reserve, you understand the way the war machine works, you understand the way the EPA works, it's any regulation, really, you start seeing the way it favors big companies and really squeezes on us. It's not that hard to look at the medical industry and go, wait, can I actually see this data? And then when you see the way that they continuously hide the actual data, make claims that turn out to be not true, oh, there's got to be some financial interest here. And the government's evil.
Like, well, right. And so this is a big advantage that we have too, is that our basic philosophical outlook is that the government is evil, and we're correct in that basic outlook. So that allows you, when the government is lying, your instinct is always to be skeptical of those lies. And so, but this is basically the reason why, I mean, that, and, like, you know, I do my research and I think I have at least a decent head on my shoulders to think these things through. But that's why when I'm like, me and you are able to be completely correct about the Trump-Russia collusion whole thing. Because as soon as the CIA starts coming out and saying all of this stuff, our instinct is like, can I see some evidence for that? Like, wait a minute, everyone's just trusting the CIA? Nope, sorry. That's not, like, I'm inoculated against that faith in the CIA. And in the same sense, when the government is taking these extraordinary measures to exercise more control over its citizenry, our instinct is always going to be skeptical of that, to be concerned about that side of things. Even from day one, when I really didn't know anything about the dangers of the virus, I was already saying I'm more concerned about this than I am about the virus. Even in mid-March 2020, that was obvious. Like, that was a bigger concern. A bigger concern to me was destroying the economy and the totalitarianism of the lockdowns. So that's the advantage, like, we kind of have going in. But from the perspective of people who were quicker to, much quicker to understand the correct way to think about these things, it would help a little bit if your goal was to, have some type of, like, reconciliation here. Like you said with your example about the addict, it would help a little bit if there was an apology attached to that. It would help a little bit for us to believe, like, that there's something genuine here, that you wouldn't turn around and do this again, or in real good faith to say, like, yeah, I don't think it's right that we smear people, is if you were to say, you know what, I was wrong for trusting all of these people before, and I'm sorry for that. And I'm sorry for anyone who I smeared in this way, because the more the data comes in, the more it proves they're right. Now, I will say, to caveat that, I understand where maybe it's best that she didn't have that approach on Bill Maher's show. I don't think Bill Maher's audience would be able to swallow, and it turns out that those Trump supporters were right and you were wrong. That might be a bridge too far. So perhaps it's better that she just does it this way. But you got to at least say the positives outweigh the negatives on this by far. It's very cool to see this happening on a progressive show that has a sizable audience. That's cool. All right, let's finish.
I think you're right, though. I hadn't picked up on it, but the fact that she's going, well, the information has changed, that's not really accurate. It's just that the information, people are now being more accepting, because even Fauci, like, every time Fauci got busted in a lie, the information didn't really change. He just accepted the fact that he was wrong. You know what I mean? Like, there's been plenty. If you were doing honest investigative research into any of the data here, you would have seen that we've been wrong on most of this stuff. Like, you know what I mean? It's not like the information's really changed. It's just what is now mainstream or acceptable changes every 6 months when, whatever today's conspiracy is what Fauci's going to be saying on the news in 6 months from now. Yeah. Like, yeah. When at first when people said, hey, this is a lab leak, the science didn't change that all of a sudden, like, we're allowed to discuss it. It was that they weren't able to keep that story under wraps for long enough. So, like, for you to stand, I don't know specifically, like, or on the mask thing, when Rand Paul said 6 months ago, hey, these masks aren't really working, you could have looked at the science, and the science hasn't changed. It's just what people are willing to report it has changed. So,
no, that's right. And so many of these progressive outlets just slammed Rand Paul for saying that. And Fauci himself, as he was testifying in that Senate committee, he slammed Rand Paul. Masks absolutely work. You know, you don't know what you're talking about. Now that's okay. Now we're allowed to say all of that stuff. And look, even if you're going to argue that like more information has come out, that doesn't change the fact that he was right at the time. He was looking at the information he had and making the right call, and you made the wrong one.
And how are you not curious how everyone else had it right then? Like, if there was this entire team, which is the Trump team, and you're convinced that they were really dumb and that they should have been more trusting, and then all of a sudden it's a 2 years later, you've lost 2 years of lives, there are a lot of consequences for getting this one wrong, then you go, oh, well, like, well, how do you not want to have a little bit of a review of yourself and where you're getting information from and who we were listening to that you managed to get it so wrong? I would think that would be the starting point is, man, we really got to review.
Something interesting. Yeah, there'd be something there, you know? So anyway, all right, let's play the rest of this clip.
You will look at the data that we did not have 2 years ago, and you will find out that cloth masks do not do anything. You will realize that you can show your vaccine passport at a restaurant and still be asymptomatic.
Can you pause? You got to pause. Because this actually really irritates me. So why do we take those actions without evidence that they did work?
Yeah,
why would you allow government to impose and take away freedoms on the suggestion that something could work? And then now that we have the evidence that it never did, like, where's that conversation of why are we just going to allow government to have emergency powers or in like throw just really nonsensical things into our lives without very clear evidence of the utility?
It's like if a surgeon, you know, it's like if you came into the hospital claiming about like abdominal pain and the surgeon like opened you up and performed some like stomach surgery on you, and then they go like, well, now the evidence is, seeing as how you still have the same pain, the evidence is in that that wasn't the correct surgery to perform. It's like, well, isn't the onus on you before you perform the surgery to have some type of reason to believe that, like, with a high degree of certainty that that is necessary? Like, how is it just like, well, we didn't? And I really hate this thing where she goes, look, we have data now that we didn't have 2 years ago. And it's like, oh, that's a very convenient cop out.
Yeah. What?
Like, yes, that is true. 2 years ago, there was not a pandemic. So yes, that's true. We 2 years ago in January of 2020, there was what? COVID was officially, I think it had just gotten like the first documented case might have been in America. But so yes, you're right. We didn't have evidence. We had, we didn't have data that we had then, right? But you kind of, this is all fuzzy now over these last 2 years. It's like all of a sudden today it started that we have more of this data to look at. It's like, well, was it there in, you know, was it there by April of 2020? How about the summer of 2020? How about the fall? How about the winter? How about the beginning? How about the four quarters of 2021? Which one of that? Because we actually did, like, if you want to say instead of 2 years ago, let's say 1 year ago, we did have a lot of data in. And me and you were talking about it quite a bit on this show. And so don't act like this all of a sudden, now that it's like kind of okay to talk about a lot of these things, well, I've just been looking at all of this evidence and look at that. Things have changed completely. It's like, no, this evidence has been coming in and it's been very clear. One of the things I remember that this might be back in, maybe in April of 2020. One of the things that became very clear right away was who this virus was actually killing. That became very clear.
The olds and the fats.
Yes. Right away it was very clearly sick people. And that's, you know, disproportionately are old. But that was very quickly revealed, like who this was actually killing. And that never really seemed to be like very clearly articulated to the American people.
Coronavirus was almost like a mercy rule in a sports game where it was the people with only 1 year left to live. And it was like, right. Oh, let's call it a little early.
Right. So it was just like, no, there's actually quite a bit more to this than, and things like, you know, certainly like outdoor masking, certainly like, all of these, enforced precautions at schools, lockdowns, all like so many of these things were obvious right away. The hospitalization numbers, the death numbers, the, all of these things, like it was obvious for a very long time. And to the point you were getting at before, it's like the people who really, it's like, forget even us, because whatever, we've been able to survive this whole thing, at least thus far. But there were people whose like careers and reputations were seriously damaged and or destroyed over, you know, things like, you know, doctors early on opposing the lockdowns, you know, being whistleblowers about what the overuse of ventilators that was actually killing people. There were people who were talking about the lab leak theory. There were people who were talking about vaccine effectiveness. There were people who were talking about like a ton of these different things.
Therapeutics.
And I'll tell you, like, it was pretty obvious pretty early on. I mean, at the absolute very least, by the summer of 2020, at the absolute latest, it was very clear that there, like, you don't have to be a genius to understand that you had these examples like Sweden and Florida and South Dakota and places like this, that you were like, look, they're not doing what they should be doing, way worse than their counterparts, and they're not. And this was a huge issue. That was why they were so demonized in the corporate press, because they had to be to explain this away. And they were always predicting doom and gloom around the corner. And then it was like, yeah, no, none of that actually ever came. And so, again, not that there wasn't like a problem with COVID there, but that it just, like, if you're going to justify all of these policies, it would have to be much, much worse in those areas. And so, again, it's just it's hard. In some ways, I'm venting, and this is not the best way to handle this shit. But there is something that's kind of hard to
No, I think you're right. I think without, like, imagine stock pickers. If you had one stock picker over the course of a year who's getting every single trade right and he's making a ton of money, and the other guy's losing everything and all of his clients are going broke. So you're going to switch. You're going to go with the guy who keeps getting things right, and you're going to take your money away from the guy who keeps getting things wrong. On every one of these issues, there are scientists that did call it right. Like, take a simple one that they just flipped on, which is keeping schools open. And there have been significant consequences of kids with the remote learning. There's no question about that. There's some kids that are going to be have some fucked up psychology from having been home or from having not learned from here. There's no question that there were consequences from kids that were doing the remote learning. I remember there was a Newsweek article 6 months ago, and by the time this hit Newsweek, that meant that, like, think about how many people were in trouble for having these opinions. Like, Newsweek was already kind of, but it was that death rate's lower than the flu, and there's no evidence that there's high transmission amongst kids. Yeah. And it was in one paragraph. That's 6 months ago. So who was the doctor who noticed that then? And why aren't we giving him the job to start figuring this shit out and firing the people that 6 months ago made the wrong call? How are these people, even if you want to give them the benefit of the doubt, and don't, they're murderers. They've I'm telling you, like, they're therapeutics that could have helped people. Like, they've done the worst things ever to humanity for their own profit. But, like, let's just imagine that they didn't do that and were just making mistakes. Well, then how are we not doing a review here of the people that got this right on every one of these? Like, someone should just be putting Rand Paul in charge of the CDC and going, oh yeah, if we look back at all these videos that we're making fun of you for, you were right on all these. And look at this. You actually got a medical degree and you understand the way government works. You know what? Fuck the NIH, CDC, Rand Paul's in charge.
Well, listen, I'll tell you, the reason why I keep kind of like apologizing for it, even though I can't help but go down this path, and just to go down the path before I even get into that, it's like, and just like the people, some type of like, hey, we should like apologize and reward the people whose lives were ruined. Hey, like, Twitter should reinstate some accounts that they banned over this shit. You know what I mean? But aside from that, the truth is that what we got to do is try to rise above these things and go, look, I understand wanting justice, you know, and justice is like we want all of the people who did the wrong thing to somehow pay a consequence, and we want all the people who did the right thing to somehow be rewarded, you know? But before we can get to wanting justice, we want an end to the injustice. So the most important thing is that we want to end this insanity, and we want to get back to a normal society. So the most important thing is we want to end the COVID regime. And what I think that libertarians and right wingers and stuff, what they have to realize is that, like, there's going to have to be a left wing component to that in order to end this shit. Now, I suppose you could argue that, well, there could be places like Florida. There could be little like areas where you cut out that maintain a high level of freedom as compared to the rest of the COVID, you know, totalitarian states. And that's true. But that's still a pretty unstable environment as long as you're in a union together, or even if you're not and you're just neighboring these areas, it's still better off for all of us if the COVID regime falls. And in order for that to happen, you're going to have some people who vote Democrat wake up to how crazy this shit is. So I'm very happy to see this. It's just hard to not make all of these points. Let's take a quick second. I want to talk to fans of the show who are over the age of 21. I want to tell you about my newest favorite vape pen from MePod.com. Now, as a warning, these products contain nicotine, and nicotine, as you may know, is an addictive chemical. So I don't recommend you go try it and get addicted. But if you're already addicted like me, go check out MePod. This is the new vape that I love using. It's got a great pull. It's got great flavors. I love the feel of the device. Now, I switched from smoking to vaping years ago. It's a lot more convenient than smoking. You don't stink. My wife really appreciates that. And it's much easier to use indoors. And it's just better on every level. So for all you vapers out there, I want to tell you about the products available at MePod.com. Because if you're a smoker or a vapor, you're going to love these. The new MePod 2.0 is the best refillable vape on the market. Vapers can refill with any vape juice flavor that they prefer. It's got a long-lasting battery and a small, sleek design. MePod has a wide variety of disposable vapes available on MePod.com, including top-selling brands like Vaporlax, Draco, Hyde, Airbar. I think fans of disposables will be particularly into the new Drago disposable vape, which lasts 6,500 puffs. That sounds like a lot to me. For those of you who like flavors, MePod has a wide variety of vape juice options and flavored disposables. MePod also has a wide variety of vaping options for those 420 consumers. Lastly, MePod has fast shipping, with most orders shipping out the same day. So if you're a vapor or a smoker, you'll love MePod, and support the sponsors that support our shows. All you got to do is go over to MePod.com, use the promo code PROBLEM, and you're going to get 20% off. One more time, that's MePod.com, promo code PROBLEM for 20% off your order. All right, let's get back into the show. All right, let's play the rest of this clip, because then I got another clip from Bill Maher's show that I want to watch as well.
To go, and you will find out that cloth masks do not do anything. You will realize that you can show your vaccine passport at a restaurant and still be asymptomatic and carrying Omicron. And you will realize, most importantly, that this is going to be remembered by the younger generation as a catastrophic moral crime. The city of Flint, Michigan, which is 80%, I think, minority students, has just announced indefinite virtual schooling. In the past 2 years, we've seen among young girls a 51% increase in self-harm. People are killing themselves. They are anxious. They are depressed. They are lonely. That is why we need to end it more than any inconvenience that it's been to the rest of us. I think it's a pandemic. It's like, at this point, it's a pandemic of bureaucracy. It's a pandemic of bureaucracy.
All right. So, I mean, look, great point. She's making great points all around. And I tip my hat to her for that. You know, Barry Weiss is really bad on some issues, but she's good on some issues. And she's what she's saying right here is fucking great. And I got to say, it's really nice to see that get like a very enthusiastic round of applause by Bill Maher's progressive leaning audience. That's an encouraging sign that maybe, dear God, maybe at least in some ways we still live in the United States of America, and there's still some You know, like there's some group of people who are waking up over all this shit. It is just interesting to see. And I'm sure for people who like listen to this show, it's just kind of like it's hard to not have a little bit of a feeling like, well, welcome to the conversation. Welcome to the conversation that the rest of us have been having for quite a long time. It's really interesting. I got to say, it's fascinating in a way because, like I said, like I grew up, you know, watching Politically Incorrect, Bill Maher's old show before Real Time. And you know, like there's no matter how much the show grows or like our careers grow or anything like that, being on the doing these, you know, internet shows and I guess there's still always, as much as I know that they're all like lying, blood-soaked monsters, you know, there's something about it that's just so crazy to see when the establishment people start saying the things that we've been saying forever. I mean, it's like, this is, you know, if you listen to this show, it's like this idea that it's like, oh, but you know, when you're vaccinated, you can still have and spread the virus. You're like, wow, that is brand new information. Like, thank you so much for this is crazy. It's like, a full year at least behind where the rest of us have been. But welcome to the conversation. It's good to have you here. I guess you know it, if this thing does fall, I would have a little bit of suspicion, you know, with how I would treat these people who came on to it very late and are now leading the charge. I'd be a little bit more trustworthy of people who were saying it when it was somewhat dangerous to say.
The one thing that does make me hopeful about all this is if you look at Cosby, Epstein,
the greats.
Yeah, exactly. Who was the Hollywood producer also who went down?
Weinstein.
Another Jew guy. Weinstein. Sometimes like you get these institutions of power, but when the wheel turns and it becomes acceptable to start reporting on it, it unwinds fast. I'm kind of hopeful that the wheel's starting to turn on the COVID stuff, that as they start, people like this are reporting, hey, this doesn't make any sense.
Well,
I mean, how much longer does it take before more people are going like, well, why are we doing all this stuff that makes no sense? And then looking at Fauci when he's giving his answers going, well, wait a second.
Well, I've been saying for a while that I think I'm optimistic about this, and I'm really optimistic about what the Omicron variant might do. That it might do what all of our arguments, even though Barry Weiss is now just saying the same shit that we've all been saying. It's like there's something about this that, like, when it's right in front of people's faces, and now you have this new variant where it's like, okay, it's just people see people. They see their vaccinated and unvaccinated friends alike getting it the exact same way, both experiencing the same mild symptoms. You know what I mean? And just seeing this and like, that's a hard thing, even though it's just anecdotal, that's a hard thing to not wake people up to kind of like, okay, this just makes no sense. So it's, I think there's something about this that, is really encouraging. So yeah, I agree with that. All right. There's another clip that I want to play. Of course, Barry Weiss, but Bill Maher, by the way, has been, for a progressive, has been reasonably good on COVID the entire time. And I'll give him credit for that, but he gets in on the action as well. It's not just Barry Weiss. So here's another clip from the same episode.
It's so different from where we were 2 months ago. The last time I sat here is that we now know the vaccine does not stop you from getting it. I found that out when I got it. I mean, I got it and everyone's like, oh my God, how'd you get it? You had the vaccine. I guess I was one of the first, and now everybody has. It doesn't stop you from getting it, and it doesn't stop you from transmitting it.
It's all right, let's when you do pause it again. Let's pause it for a second. All right. Oh, we now know that. We didn't know that 2 months ago, Rob.
Well, they did an incredible job at saying that breakthrough cases were exceptionally rare. And I don't even know what the official data is right now in terms of breakthrough cases, because the CDC kind of kept changing what it was actually tracking so that it would seem that like the storyline would always kind of line up with what they were looking for, which, by the way, if you just take a step back, and you go, why would the people who are just in the game to give out the health information be changing the way they're tracking stuff and being like, why, like that, that's when you just start to realize, like, wait a second, they're clearly working for somebody here and they're pushing a narrative, and why would they be pushing a narrative? But anyways, that was kind of a big thing that was suppressed for a long time, was the amount of breakthrough cases. And even this was very interesting at the start of Omicron, they overstated how much Omicron was going on in America because they didn't want to admit to Delta breakthrough cases. So like they were saying like it was 95%, and then they changed it to 55%. I don't even think then they finally just accepted, like they don't kind of give you numbers on breakthrough cases, just accepted that you'll get it. But magically, yeah, the less deadly variant, the vaccine's going to be what saved you from getting more sick. Without any, I haven't seen recent breakthrough numbers for like the hot, because they're still saying that most of the hospitalization and deaths are unvaccinated, which maybe it's hard to validate.
Exactly are you measuring those unvaccinated? You know,
this is what's great. Like, you know, before they would have even said, well, Bill, you're the single breakthrough. Like, so, you know, it's still working. You were just the unlucky single vaccinated person. But I think just enough people have seen their vaccinated parents. I mean, 85% of the country, I believe, is vaccinated at this point. So, like, where are all these cases coming from?
Yeah. No, that's right. That's it. And anyway, so look, it's hard to even hear the, like, we now know what we didn't know 2 months ago. When you're like, but then how come we were talking about it 8 months ago? You know, like, but okay, but fine. Regardless, it's cool to hear this on Bill Maher's show. So let's keep playing.
Also, thinking that something can never happen until it happens to you, that's called being stupid, right? Like, to think of it, like, if you thought that you can never get a flat tire until you get a flat tire and go, oh, I guess flat tires exist, I should be prepared for this. Who knew? That's called being an idiot.
Right. And then it's like, and then you're like, there's this half of the country that's been saying, hey, you know, you could get a flat tire, and you've been demonizing them for years.
So you're
like,
so in this case, if you're just going, oh yeah, you can't have a breakthrough case until you get a breakthrough, and you're working in like the news media game, that's called being an idiot. Like, that's not the way that you should be getting your information, is because something happened to you. That's a very dumb strategy.
Agreed. All right, let's keep playing.
The vaccine does not stop you from getting it. I found that out when I got it. I mean, I got it, and everyone's like, oh my God, how'd you get it? You had the vaccine. I guess I was one of the first, and now everybody has it. It doesn't stop you from getting it, and it doesn't stop you from transmitting it. It stops you from dying when you do get it.
Yeah. So okay. That's a pretty good reason to take the vaccine.
But that's, yeah, I'm not saying it's not a good reason. I'm just saying that's a huge difference, and it counteracts the argument that we need the vaccine to protect other people. It just protects you. It doesn't protect you from me, doesn't protect me from getting it. It protects you. But so it's just really about you
but
now.
The main point.
And about the science, you know, the people, this is, I think, where Democrats look bad. Like, we're the people of science. And then a lot of what they do has nothing to do with science, like suggesting you wear masks outside. There's no science to that.
Or so preschoolers having to be fitted for special KN95 masks.
Or that the virus can get me when I'm walking in a restaurant, but not when I'm sitting down.
Exactly. I mean,
you know, there's so much mindless bureaucracy.
I think, like,
Kyrie Irving can play on the road, but not home games. That, it's just stupid. The Supreme Court just ruled on this, and when we found out what some of the justices said,
they were listening to NPR all the time.
Exactly. It showed that they were just like every other liberal or conservative. They all listened to their own media zones. And Sotomayor said, we have over 100,000 children in serious condition, yes, and many on ventilators. At the time, there were fewer than 5,000. She also said it was a bloodborne virus. Bloodborne virus? I mean, that's really ignorant for a Supreme Court justice. So don't be we're the people who believe in science, but you don't have the facts. I read this before, like 41% of Democrats last year thought that over 50% of people who got COVID were hospitalized. It was less than 1%.
But I'm sorry, if you're watching cable news all day, that's what you're going to think.
Okay, so let's pause it right there. I got to say, it's pretty interesting to see. I mean, this literally, like, it reads like one of the writers on Bill Maher's show listens to our podcast and was just giving him talking points directly from it. Now, of course, I don't mean to like be narcissistic myself about this. Obviously, there's a lot of people who have been really good on COVID this whole time. All right, guys, let's take a quick second and thank our sponsor for today's show, which is Paint Your Life. Making new memories in a new world, I've found the best way to hold on to those memories is by turning them into art that lasts forever from paintyourlife.com. If you want to celebrate some of your favorite memories with your family, with your friends, with your colleagues, check this out. Paintyourlife.com is a great idea for gifts. This is the type of thing that your wife, your girlfriend, your mother, your sister is just going to love, okay? You can turn a painting into a beautiful piece of art. Get a professional hand-painted portrait created from any photo at a truly affordable price, or combine photos of people or places you love into one painting. Choose from a team of world-class artists and work with them until every detail is perfect. Their user-friendly platform makes it easy to order a custom-made hand-painted portrait in less than 5 minutes. It's fast. You can receive your first portrait in as little as 2 weeks. Send any picture. It can be of yourself, your children, your family, a special place, someone you loved who isn't around anymore, a cherished pet, even an action shot of you or your children playing your favorite sport. It makes the perfect birthday or anniversary or wedding gift. It's meaningful, it's personal, and it can be cherished forever. I got to tell you, I think this is just a really phenomenal idea. I'm going to do one of these and give it to my wife, like one of me, her, and the kids. She's going to love it. I just know that. And honestly, I'll love it too. So this is very cool. Go check it out at paintyourlife.com. There's no risk. If you don't love the final painting, your money is refunded, guaranteed. And right now, as a limited time offer, get 20% off your painting. That's right, 20% off and free shipping. To get this special offer, just text the word problem to 64,000. You just text the word problem to 64,000. Text problem to 64,000. Paint your life. Celebrate the moments that matter. Terms apply. Available at paintyourlife.com/terms. Again, text problem to 64,000. All right, let's get back into the show. It is really something to see this show that and to see that like all the stuff we talk about all of a sudden is being acknowledged as reality. It's nice. It's nice to see. It's like, okay, thank you. Thank you for like admitting that there really is something to this and that we're not like, we're not the crazy ones. And it's almost like they're even starting from a point of still being Democrats and still working under the presumption that of course the Democrats are correct, but there is this one real problem we have, right? Is that we say that we're the ones following science, but like, oh, we're not following the science at all here. And it's like, you're only a few baby steps away from like recognizing that it's like, yeah, maybe you're the anti-science people. Right? I mean, you've been ignoring all this stuff for way too long. And so it is interesting to see them like these very basic, you know, realizations that you're like, well, if the vaccine doesn't stop you from spreading the virus or having the virus, and the vaccine does, you know, in some sense guarantee that you're not going to get very sick or die from the virus. Well, if that's true, then there is no justification for any of the vaccine passports or mandates or any of it. These are people taking their own risk. If all of that is true, then the risk is solely on those people who aren't getting vaccinated. And they've had every opportunity to get it, right? It's widely available. It's covered at taxpayer expense. You can just go in and get it whenever you want to. So those people are taking their own risk. But if you're going to say that the vaccine guarantees that you won't get very sick or die from it, and you can catch it from a vaccinated person also, well, then there's absolutely no logical justification for why the vaccinated need to be protected from the unvaccinated.
And then if that's the case, why isn't there an uproar over discriminatory policies being mandated by the state? And why isn't there more like Biden's federal mandate just got overruled, even though already, I think, 95% of federal workers since their jobs have been threatened, got vaccinated, but it literally just got thrown out. The judge is like, yeah, the authority on this was never given to you. You just can't do this. It was like just a blanket, like, yeah, you can't do that. No one ever gave you the authority. So like the amount of outrage that we should have over people's jobs were threatened. People are like, I'm sure there's some federal workers that left their jobs.
Yeah.
They're probably trying to figure out the paperwork to get that job back. And even though that ruling was considered illegal, it's not going to be that easy for them to get their job back. You know, I can't just show up in New York City and hang out at a comedy club. Like, I mean, it's crazy. So if Bill, like, if we're just accepting that was never true, I mean, like, it should be, there should be outrage and it should be getting reversed immediately.
Yeah, that's right. Like, forget, like, not just like some minimal effort to right the wrongs of this, but to just like at least end it all. Anyway, it's really just something to watch the liberals kind of catch up. But I got to say, overall, I'm really encouraged by this. And it's like, this is a really good sign. It's a really good sign to see them like realizing that this just doesn't add up. And it's destroying too many people's lives and that this needs to end. So I am encouraged by all of this. Here, let's keep playing a little bit more of this before we wrap up.
But I'm sorry, if you're watching cable news all day,
right,
that's what you're going to think. There is misinformation, and not just on podcasts and the internet. It's also on cable news.
Right.
The Democrats are supposed to be the party of the little guy, right? At their best, that's what
right.
they're about. You know what the Democrats are now comfortable with, or seemingly comfortable with? A two-tiered system in which the haves get to go into a restaurant, laugh with their friends for hours, and the people serving them are masked and wearing gloves. Or they get to walk, as AOC did, at the Met Gala, while in the background, the staff look like they were in The Handmaid's Tale. I mean, this is a look that is unbelievably detrimental.
And jobs. The people with the, you know, consulting jobs or whatever bullshit they do, they get to stay at home and order the food out and do shit by Zoom. And whereas
it's
the working, laptop. It's the working class people who
keep
are
pause.
Using their shitty stale air old.
This is a huge point, and it's such a, like, liberals should really have to swallow this pill, is that while they pretend like they care about the poor, the people that were concerned about this virus are your middle class, upper middle class, liberal fucks who were able to work jobs where they stayed at home, and they were able to impose on the poor and working class of this country that they wouldn't be able to work their jobs for their personal safety while they stayed. So like, for all their fucking talk about caring about the poor and caring about the working class, they imposed on those people that they wouldn't be allowed to go to their jobs while they were able to keep their jobs, because they're like, that was for their own security.
Yeah.
And it's not just like when you go to, and they're right, when you go to a restaurant and you're able to just sit there and have fun and, you know, look at the people that are being tortured by these policies, there is a cruelty to that. I guess we're kind of okay with it, because I mean, that's the structure of a restaurant, and sometimes you're eating in a place the staff couldn't afford to eat it. So like, that's kind of,
yeah, but it's a little bit different. I mean, I know, you know, when me and you have been on the road and I've addressed this almost everywhere we've been, where the staff has been wearing masks.
Right.
And I'm not in a position to tell them what they can or can't do. I'm just like the comedian on stage, but it'll be like a show where I'm the headlining comedian. So like, I'm something, you know,
right.
And I'll just tell them to take it off. And I'll just tell all the staff, I'll just be like, yeah, if you want to take that off, take that off. This is fucking ridiculous. Like, you're in a room full of people where no one has masks on. Like, what do you have to have a mask on? But I will say, there's something about that makes me really uncomfortable. And I love when we would do shows where the staff is unmasked. And sometimes you'll see a situation where the staff is all unmasked, but then there's like one like server who has a mask on. And that's fine. Like, okay, if you want to wear your, like, if you're choosing to do it, fine. But there is something that makes me very uncomfortable about that. Like, you already, you know, you're kind of already in this environment. Like, if we go out and we do stand-up shows, you know, we're working technically, but we really love our work. Like, and we have a really fun job. You know, our job is to go tell jokes and entertain a room full of people. That's a fun gig. It's a privileged type of job to have. We're fortunate to be, you know, we're fortunate to be able to do this job. We're fortunate to have been born in a first world country, to be like all the things that go into doing that for a living rather than digging ditches. You know what I mean? Like we're lucky to be in a position where we do that. Everybody who's there for the show is out for a night of entertainment. They're having drinks and having some food and they're having some laughs. They're having a good time. The only ones there who are like not having fun are like, you know, and they may have a little bit of fun here and there, but like the staff is there to work. There's a bus boy there who's bussing tables. That ain't fun. That's work, you know? And to just see that one guy in that situation also has to have his face covered the whole time is like, it just makes me uncomfortable. And as much as I can, I always try to tell them, like, be like, hey, dude, take that shit off. None of us care. None of my people care. So just take it up. But
yeah, that's some real class second. I never really thought of it that way. But yeah, that is some real second class citizen shit.
And I'm already okay with the fact that he's bussing tables while the rest of us have fun. I mean, it's still a little bit awkward, you know, but it's like, okay, well, that's where he's at right now. And hopefully he kicks ass here and moves up the ranks. And, you know, and a busboy in America and you know, he still goes out for a night of fun sometimes too. So, okay. But at least let him uncover his face. Why add another? And it's a very weird thing where it's like a marker. You know, in a way, like he's marked as the one who has to do this. But I guess the thing here, and I appreciate the Barry Weiss saying this. I appreciate everything she said on this show and Bill Maher too. I think it's great. But I think there still is this assumption here that it's like, where you say, well, Democrats are the party who cares about the little guy. And then I think she says, well, at least at their best, that's what they are. When is that? I guess that would be my question. Just give me the example of when Democrats actually care about the little guy, as the little guy has been trampled over the last 2 years in this country. I have seen absolutely zero concern for them. We're highlighting this and doing an entire episode about this because it's like one time where you see some liberal progressives actually caring about the little guy. And that is newsworthy. This was trending on Twitter. This was all over the place because it's like, oh my God, they're actually doing it. When have they cared about the little guy? They certainly use the perception that they're fighting for the little guy. But when do they really? You give me one example. I mean, one example where they've really stood up for the little guy, and she's right. And you're absolutely right in the point that you made, Rob, that this is, it's been absolutely disastrous. You know, it always from the very beginning of COVID, even if you bought the official narrative of this, like, well, we need, 15 days to flatten the curve or whatever. There were a whole bunch of people, a whole bunch of middle-class people who were more than happy to say, yeah, okay, I'll take a couple weeks off. And we'll do this. But that's not nearly as easy for the working class and poor to do. You know, if you're living paycheck to paycheck, missing a couple weeks is like, oh, this could be devastating. No one was thinking about those people. None of these Democrats cared about that. And then as the lockdown went from 15 days to, you know, slowly into some morphed version of 2 years, there was no thought about how much this was destroying people. No, you just, and anyone was like, oh, you just want to get a haircut. That's, remember, you know, that was the line? Just want to get a haircut if you wanted to end the lockdowns.
It was almost like, if you want to live a shitty life and work some warehouse job, we're not going to judge you. But if that puts my health at risk, then yes, I suddenly do care that you don't have your entire life together.
Yeah.
Like, in other words, like, if you want to go be poor somewhere and it doesn't affect me, like, good, freedom, go be poor. This is the liberal attitude. But if your poorness is going to put my health at risk, then no, you can't just live your poor lifestyle.
Yeah, no, that's it, more or less. Yeah. All right. Look, we're going to wrap on that one. All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Come check us out. I'm doing a bunch of the LP convention spots coming up soon. We got Connecticut, California, Florida, Pennsylvania, Minnesota. A whole bunch more of them coming up. So come check me out there. And yeah, we'll talk to you soon. Peace.